All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking with Maloney and Hobgood, and we've got Terry Gates in studio, as well as Chris Sill. And we have online none other than Corey Alexander, former UVA Sterling point guard, to say the least. And then he played the NBA as well. And now he's doing color commentary for the ACC. And
yeah, doing TV. He made it to TV. Terry and I didn't. Now, if you look at Terry and Hobo, you understand why we didn't make it to TV and Corey did. At any rate, Corey, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join us here tonight.
Hey, guys, appreciate you having me.
All right, we're talking about Virginia basketball. Surprise, surprise. What was your assessment of the second half last night and how Virginia got it done against Maryland?
Well, it was exciting, to say the least. I was happy to see them get it done. Was a little shocked at how they came out and the game started off, but I believe they just really started playing a little tight. And, you know, one thing about being a basketball player and a college athlete anywhere, you start to hear what everybody else is talking about. I believe they start listening to the talk of they had to have this game to get into the NCAA tournament, and I believe they just came out a little bit tight.
You know, you're an ACC analyst now. I'm curious, Duke, Carolina on Saturday night, why did Carolina not show up?
Seth Curry ended that game early. That's basically what it was. It wasn't that Carolina didn't show up. They just got the wrong time. Seth Curry started the game at 9. Carolina started at 9:15 and it was over. He basically took that game over from the beginning. They didn't have anyone that could guard him. I mean, and he basically just set the tone for that game early. Carolina was never able to catch up.
We got Mr. Gates in-house here. Terry, you got a question for a fellow analyst here?
Well, yes. Corey, being what Virginia has been through in the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, it's a fragile, I'm sure, psyche for even the older guys, even the third and fourth years. You know, they got a day off. It's a nice win. It's about the 21st win of the year. But as I was telling these guys, they still have to show up and play NC State. if they get past that, they have to play Miami. So I don't think this is a respite for them. I think it's just back into the frying pan again on Friday.
It's definitely not time to rest. I mean, they need to have a good showing, quality showing at the ACC tournament. You know, everyone knows the number. Virginia hasn't played on a Saturday in the ACC tournament since 1995. So none of that is new. But at the same time, I think that, you know, they can go in there and be a little more relaxed. They've kind of got the monkey off their back. From the standpoint of getting that first round bye, they were able to win a game when they really needed to win it. And I think that would definitely help them, hopefully go in and play a little more relaxed. And whoever they have to play will be coming off of having to play the night before. And back-to-backs in college basketball are not that common. And that's one of the things that makes the tournament play so difficult, is having to win all those games in consecutive days. And Virginia, fortunately, doesn't have to try to win four. Three is a lot easier than having to win four. No one's ever done it.
Right, and what a disaster it would have been. A loss last night would have put them against Virginia Tech. So that's just not a good scenario to start with.
Absolutely, and of course, once you mean that they've beaten Virginia Tech twice already this year, you really don't want to have to play them again. Just from the standpoint of, you know, I mean, the old adage in sports is it's hard to beat the same team three times.
Well,
we've seen so many times where it hasn't worked out that way. So, you know, but of course, playing NC State won't be a easy task as well.
Corey, what about NC State? You know, and we're not going to assume that Virginia Tech won't win that game on Thursday, but just if North Carolina State does win, and they will be favored, talk about the matchup for Virginia against NC State.
Well, I believe it's a matchup that, of course, Virginia is capable of winning, given they beat NC State earlier in the season. But it's a NC State team that is, you know, just so up and down. They have so much talent, and they can explode at any time, but they haven't really played well this year. When you come in, they were the preseason favorite to win the ACC, and to finish 11-7, of course, is disappointing for them. And at the same time, an 11-7 finish for Virginia, in my opinion, is really overachieving. So you have two teams kind of with a different mindset. NC State right now feels as though they are in the tournament. Everyone says they're in the tournament, which, in my opinion, which have them a little more relaxed and probably not where they need to be. So, in Virginia, I think still feels that they need to do work to get in. So having to play with that sense of purpose, I believe, will be helpful for Virginia.
And, of course, the game in Charlottesville, Lorenzo Brown gets hurt in the first half and only plays 10 minutes. So that was not that Virginia might not have won the game anyway, but certainly not having Lorenzo Brown. I'm sure NC State looks at that and thinks if we have him for a full contingent of minutes, we're going to be in good shape.
Absolutely. And this is what the NC State players have been looking forward to. Of course, not that the regular season doesn't matter to them, but for a team that's had success before getting in, they went to the Sweet 16 last year and had success in the NCAA tournament. This is the point they've been trying to get back to. So I'm looking forward to seeing if we're going to actually see the NC State team that we were all expecting all year.
Corey, this is Frank. Thank you for joining us tonight. 60th annual ACC tournament, and wouldn't you say in theory that maybe this particular year could be wide open because there have been so many crazy games? I mean, Georgia Tech beating Miami the other night really surprised me, and then there's many games, but don't you think this tournament really is wide open?
I do believe it is, and of course, I did that Georgia Tech-Miami game, and so I was there to see it live, and Miami really was up 13 at one point and just kind of took their foot off the pedal, and Georgia Tech never gave up. They started getting hot, and Miami just couldn't get that momentum back. But then that's really, you know, that's the ACC this year. When you look at, you know, the two best teams have been Miami and Duke. Duke has four road losses. I mean, they come into Charlottesville, they get beat. They get beat at NC State. They get beat at Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so from that standpoint, you know, no team is really dominant in the ACC this year. That's the reality behind it. No team has, you know, of course, and Duke has played without Ryan Kelly. I think maybe a couple of those games would have gone their favor if they did have Ryan Kelly. But there's no dominant team. But Duke with Kelly and something to play for, they're still trying to play for that number one seed. I would have to say that they have a great chance of winning the tournament simply because Coach K has been there so many times before. And these guys are still playing for that number one seed. They have motivation.
You know, Duke most likely will have to play Maryland in the game on the quarterfinals. And Maryland matches up physically with Duke pretty well, don't you think?
Maryland does. And Maryland beat Duke, of course, you know, at their place. But the problem with Maryland, when they get away from the Comcast Center, they're a different team.
Right.
And Duke will remember that loss. They did not have Ryan Kelly. And I think just having Ryan Kelly back, and it's almost like a new season for Duke, and understanding that what they're looking for right now is a 9-game streak.
Yeah.
They want to win 3 in the ACC tournament. They want to win 6 in the NCAA tournament. And they are a team capable of doing so. The question is, will they be able to execute it and go out and do it?
Well, yeah, the other thing, and I'm sure Duke fans will point to, is they're undefeated with Ryan Kelly in the lineup. The four losses in the league on the road came when Kelly was not playing. And as Frank said, the likelihood is they might play Maryland on Friday, and a good chance they'll play North Carolina again on Saturday, and then Miami on Sunday. So it's not an easy road for Duke, but one would certainly think, I think Miami and Duke are probably the two best teams in the league. The odds are they may end up playing each other on Saturday or Sunday, and that could be a heck of a game.
It could be, but in all honesty, I think Duke will be there Sunday. I don't believe Miami will be.
Oh, yeah? Well, who do you think they'll lose to? Hopefully Virginia on Saturday.
Virginia or NC State, whoever wins that game, in my opinion, will play Duke in the championship. I believe that Miami is a good team. I believe Miami has an opportunity to go to the Final Four. I just don't see them going into the ACC tournament and running the table this year. And I think right now their confidence is wavering a bit. They're a little bit susceptible. And I'm questioning whether or not they've peaked as to where they are as a team, whether or not they've peaked. But I would not be surprised to see Miami get upset on Saturday. I think they'll get through their quarterfinal game. But semifinals, I would not be surprised.
You know, I think you may. I think the team to watch could be NC State, just simply because I think you're right. They've got a lot of talent, and I think they may have something to prove here in the second season.
Absolutely. And, of course, their matchup with Miami is a tough one for Miami because NC State has guards that can compete with the guards from Miami, and their post players can compete. So they match up well. And Miami, remember, beat NC State on a tip-in at the buzzer. It wasn't as though they dominated them like they did Duke at home or like they did Carolina. They needed a last-second heroics to beat NC State.
And the flip side of that coin, Virginia gave Miami all they could handle down there in Coral Gables. So I'm not throwing the Wahoos under the bus. I think the Hoos can get there, Hobbo.
Absolutely. I think if Virginia ends up playing North Carolina State on Friday at 2:30, I think it's going to be a whale of a game, and it's going to be another typical Virginia game that may come down to the last possession again.
I'm okay with
that. I agree with you guys on that one. And my biggest concern, I honestly think that Virginia matches up much better with Miami than they do with NC State. If they're able to beat NC State, I think they have a better chance of beating Miami.
I agree. Terry, you got any questions for Corey?
I just think it's going to be, you know, a tough road for the team in Charlottesville. I mean, they can do it. It's just their success is a very, very fine line. And Corey said about teams peaking. You know, did Virginia peak
against Duke?
Against Duke, mentally, emotionally, physically, you never know. Sometimes you have to go out there and just play and have fun and forget about all that and just see who's the best one. First one to 60.
Well, you know, Corey, I've said many times the great equalizer in college basketball is the 3-point basket, and I think for Virginia to win games like yesterday, they were 4 for 16 from three. To get down there and really make some noise at the ACC tournament, I think they're probably going to have to shoot the ball a little better than that from the perimeter.
You're absolutely right. And when you look at when Virginia had its best stretch of the season, when they beat Florida State at home, they go beat Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech, they played great at Maryland on the road, they shot the ball extremely well. I mean, we haven't seen Virginia shoot the ball like that for a stretch in a very long time. What ended up hurting them later in the year was their inability to shoot the three-pointer.
And the key in that sometimes is Jesperson. You know, at Maryland, he made three big threes in the second half at College Park. And the other guy, Evan Nolte, he's in a little bit of a shooting slump here in recent games.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that you're going to see with young players and Evan Nolte, of course. Jesperson has a little more experience, but remember, Paul Jesperson didn't play a lot last season. So when you look at those guys, there are a number of guys who are being thrust into new roles for Virginia, and it's different. And Joe Harris as well, even though he's a third-year player, he's being thrust into the role of having to be the focal point of the offense. And that can get, you know, that can get tiresome. I've done that before, and it can be a tiresome role. And, you know, when people look at that, that's what I like for people to see when they look at who the ACC Player of the Year is. And that people talk about Eric Green's record, whatever they may be. But when you've got a guy that can go out and score 25-plus points a night with 4 assists and 4 rebounds to go alongside it, knowing that you're number one on the opposing team's scouting report, that's why I believe he deserves the ACC Player of the Year.
What's your role going to be at the ACC tournament? I know you do a lot of pregame, postgame, in-between sessions. Tell us what you'll be doing down there.
Well, I'll be going down actually Wednesday. I have a community outreach that I do with the ACC, so I have about 500 local kids in there, and we're going to go have some fun in the gym. They teach me all the newest dances and stuff, so we do that. Then, of course, Thursday I'll be hosting all day with Mike Hogwood. I'll host the early session on Friday, then I'll do the 2 quarterfinal games, Duke and North Carolina, both of their games, the 7 o'clock and the 9:30 games. I'll call those with Tim Brando, then go back to hosting with Mike Hogwood on semifinal Saturday and championship Sunday. So it's a full weekend ahead for me in Greensboro.
Yeah, sure sounds like it. Yeah, and that'll be a tough ticket on Friday night with Duke and North Carolina playing. I think if anybody wants to get out and see the Hoos on Friday afternoon, maybe you could get a ticket outside the Coliseum on Friday afternoon, because other than NC State, you don't have the locals playing on Friday. So, but Friday night could be a tough ticket with the Tar Heels and the Dukies playing.
Absolutely, but that always makes for a great time in Greensboro. And you know what, I would like to encourage all my fans and my friends in Charlottesville to show up and support the Hoos the same way that they support the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils.
Yeah, please come. Corey, we know you got a lot to do. Thanks for taking a minute or two to join us tonight, and we'll see you down in Greensboro.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Corey. All right, guys. So interesting thoughts from Corey. I'm a big believer that this particular ACC tournament will be wide open, more so than just the normal seating. I think the games are going – there are going to be some surprises. I wouldn't be surprised if
– Well, I tell you what's going to be
– Thursday's rounds.
Thursday's games are really going to be competitive, because the ACC, particularly after you get below maybe the top four teams, 5 through 12, or certainly 6 through 12, are pretty even.
It's a crapshoot. And I think there's going to be so much chaos on Thursday that some of that may spill over into Friday. So And I would tell people, I know there's a few seats left in the Virginia section, I believe, get on the telephone and you can get some tickets right now in the Virginia section and go down there. I think Virginia is going to make some noise on Friday. I think they are going to beat NC State. And I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to predict a four-point victory for the Cavaliers, and the game will be in the 60s.
I'll take it right now. Terry, you take a four-point win right now. We'll worry about Saturday.
First one to 60.
Well, you know, and Terry will remember this, too. It just seems weird to me to have tickets available for ACC tournament games.
And this is true of really all the teams down there.
Things are different now. And I mean, the tournament's not the same because, you know, in the old days, a lot of times you had to win the tournament, even go to the NCAA tournament. Now most, you know, three or four teams go there they're in. Hopefully five teams know they're in, but at least four.
But you all just mentioned that Jason was on the last team to play on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's a long time ago.
You did the games for 10 years. I did 12 seasons, and Virginia never played on Saturday in any of those 12 seasons on the radio, which was a real frustration for me.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to cover some of the Olympic sports, and then we're going to do a little prognosticating for the first and second rounds of the ACC tournament. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.